This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings this morning. Welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in. Again, for those of you who would like to contact me, I will give you my mailing address and website address at the close of this program. You can get a copy of this program on a CD if you write to me. We'll take your prayer requests. If you go to my website, you can read my weekly meditation there as well as re-listen to these programs there. You can also email prayer requests from the website, so if you want my address, you will need a pencil and a piece of paper to write those addresses down at the close of the program. Now, today I want to read a verse that we find in Proverbs chapter 27. It's a verse that I heard often when I was growing up, particularly at gospel meetings, and it goes like this: "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth." Do not boast about tomorrow. I think the idea is don't assume that you know what tomorrow is going to bring, because you don't know what a day is going to bring forth. And the idea is that it's well to be prepared for the eventuality that a calamity, a death, some tragedy could happen in your life on any day when you get up and face the world. We get up in the morning, we have our plans. We think that we know what we're going to do. We're going to go to work, or we're going to take a vacation, or we're going to do something important with our family. But the Bible is clear that while we make plans, often God rearranges our plans. And we know that even today there are people who are going to get up thinking that they're going to enjoy the day, and they're going to have car accidents. They're going to, in some cases, find out that they have cancer. In some cases, they're going to have heart attacks. In some cases, loved ones close to them are going to die. But there are going to be things happen that they hadn't planned on. And so it's only a fool that would not plan ahead and be ready for these things that are normal in a normal life that we really don't want to happen but are going to happen. And really, my point today is that only those who are true Christians, who have had a time in their life when they turned away from sin and self-will and the idols of this world, and have turned to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, only those are really prepared for each day when they get up in the morning. Only those are prepared for the things that happen in life that they don't expect, because we are living not for time but for eternity. Those of us that are saved are spiritual people. We're a heavenly people, and our home is not here. And so, while it is true that Christians go through the same problems that the unsaved go through, and sometimes it seems as though they go through them worse than the unsaved, yet the Christian knows that this life is but a dress rehearsal for eternity. They have trusted in the Lord who is living, who is sitting at the right hand of power, who is coming again, and they know that no matter what happens in this life, they're prepared for it, because they'll be ushered into the presence of the Lord. And Paul makes it very clear that to depart, for a Christian to depart and to be with Christ, is far better than living in this old body, this old tent in this world. This life has a lot of sorrow, but on the other side, there is a lot of joy and blessing. Not that we don't have joy now. Even in the midst of sorrow, a Christian has joy because we have peace with God. Our sins are forgiven. We are at peace about our relationship with God. And we are trusting in one who can take care of us. We are told that our God will be our Father if we will just let Him be our Father, if we will separate from unbelievers and live a sanctified life before Him, if we will trust Him, then there will be joy in this life, because we will have the constant fellowship and preservation of the Lord Jesus. Now, when I look at this verse, "Boast not yourself of tomorrow, for you know not what a day may bring forth," I have to speak from personal experience, and I could speak from a lot of them. But on Monday morning, my wife got up and asked me if I'd put the bike on the bike rack, and put the bike rack on the back of her car, put the bike on the bike rack, so that she could take a an excursion with some girlfriends who were going to be riding in the Cedar Falls area on that day, and then she was going to have lunch with them. Well, I didn't really have the time to do it, but it didn't take too long. So I went out, went to put the bike rack on the car, checked her bike out. When I checked her bike out, the brakes were hanging up, and I tried to fix them, but in the time I had, I wasn't able to get them freed up so that they would work properly. So I put my bike, which is a exact duplicate of hers, on the back and let her take my bike. Now, my bike had the seat set a little higher, and it had been left in a different gear when I had quit riding it the last time we'd ridden. But anyway, I put it on the back of my of her car. She went to ride with her girlfriends, and about an hour later, I got a call that she was at an urgent care clinic and that she had broken her arm. Now, apparently, what had happened was that she had tried to readjust the gears and had gotten had started going a little slower than usual, had gotten off the path, and she hit a tree. Now, she hadn't planned on that for that day. I hadn't planned on that for that day. But before the day was over, we had spent time in Iowa City getting her forearm set. She had broken one of the bones in her forearm on her left hand. And so the day did not turn out as we had planned it. Now, even though it was disheartening, even though we're normal people and we were discouraged by what had happened and we asked all the usual questions why, when it was all said and done, we realized that the Lord had been with us through the whole thing. You go back to the book of Isaiah, and I think it's chapter 40, the children of Israel are reminded that when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the fire, I will be with you. It's not if you pass through these things, but when you pass through them. And we realized that we had first gone to People's Clinic, and they had sent us to Iowa City, and we had gotten good care in Iowa City, and the bone could be set without actually pinning it. At least it appears that way at this time, so she didn't have to have surgery. And she's come home with a handicap, and she's going to be reminded of that day for quite a while this heals. But no permanent damage was done, and it was obvious that in the trial, the Lord was with us. But more than that, we have courage that if the situation had been worse, we would have sorrowed like anybody else if the situation had been worse, but we were prepared for these kinds of eventualities simply because we know that the Lord is on our side. The unbeliever doesn't have that kind of confidence. I'm thinking of a verse that we read about, or a couple of verses that we read about that really have to do with things that are going to happen in this world during the tribulation period, right after the Lord comes. But even though these conditions are not really being fulfilled right now, in any period in history, there are conditions like this that people go through. And it says in Luke 21 verses 25 through 28, there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear, and the expectations of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and glory. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. Now, we see things happening on earth that people can't control in these verses. And the person who does not have confidence that the Lord really knew all about this and will protect his own, their hearts fail them for fe in with fear. But for the rest, when these things happen, it gives us confidence that the Lord knew all about what was going to happen, and we can lift up our heads because our redemption draws near. Now, the verse may be having to do with the fact that Christians expect the Lord to return and to take them out of these trials, and so our redemption draws near in that sense. But I think possibly the verse is really referring to the Jewish nation, which is going to go through these trials in order that they might be brought back to the Lord and confess that they crucified their Messiah. And there's going to be an unbelieving element amongst the Jews who, when these things happen, will look up and say, it's not going to be long before the Lord sets up his kingdom, before he comes on the white horse and delivers us from the enemies of Israel in this day. But whatever, However you interpret the passage, the believer has his eye on heaven. The unbeliever is fearful because of the things happening on this earth. And if there was ever a time when there are fearful things happening on this earth, it's now. We worry about chemical warfare, germ warfare. We worry about terrorism. We worry about nuclear warfare. This year we've had earthquakes. We've had hurricanes. We've had tornadoes. We've had floods. If there were ever a year when we had more to fear, it would seem like it would have been this year. But for those of us that are saved, we can say, let your conduct, we can say like Paul says in Hebrews 13 verses 5 and 6, let your conduct be without covetousness, be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. Now, the verse probably has to do, first of all, with our concerns financially. And we have financial concerns today. We have people unemployed. We have financial concerns. And while it has first application to the Lord taking care of us financially, yet there's a broader application. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? We may not know exactly what the future holds, but as we've heard down through the years, those of us who are saved know who holds the future. And my question is, why would anyone go through life without the security of having the creator of the universe, the one who knows the end from the beginning, on their side, protecting them, comforting them, and guiding them on their way through life so that they can have a blessed entrance into heaven when the end comes. Folks, Paul could say, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. What confidence, what joy to know that even though we might be martyred as Paul was, he writes this in 2 Timothy, his last letter to Timothy, knowing that the end probably is drawing near. And he says, I know whom I have believed. It's not what I've believed. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to guard that which I've committed unto him against that day. And I suspect the day he's talking about is the execution date that he knows is approaching. And so Paul has that confidence, and we need that confidence. We need to be sure that we are in the hands of the one who loves us, who died on the cross for us, who wants to have us for his own, who put away our sins. He wants us to be his children through faith. Have you trusted in him? Are you prepared for the things that happen in life that we don't really want to happen, but which happen anyway? Friend, trust in the Lord. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon the program, and we trust that you'll bless those who have listened today. Bless all that has been of thyself, as we again thank thee for thy love in our Savior's name. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. BDCministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.